All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm speaking with Dr. Jorge Cortez, who is going to be directing the Georgia Cancer Center at Augusta University very shortly. And I guess you will probably be here full time by September.
That is correct. I'll be full time by September. I'll be making intermittent visits between now and then.
Awesome. And so in the meantime, you're still taking a look. You're still doing your work. You're not taking a vacation. You are still a very busy man. And one of the things that you're still staying on top of is that relationship, as you were sharing with us, between cancer and our immune systems.
Yes. We were talking earlier about how the immune system can help control early on the cancer cells when they just start. One of the things that we've learned recently, and was actually the work that led to the Nobel Prize to Dr. Jim Allison this year, earlier this year, is the fact that the cells are able to block the immune system. They have developed a system to block the immune system so that the immune system will not identify these cancer cells as bad and will not destroy them. So with that understanding and knowing how that is developed by the cancer cells, we have now been able to develop some therapies, particularly antibodies, that block the cancer cells from blocking the immune system, so essentially releasing the immune system so that it now can kill the cancer. And some of these drugs have been found to be very effective, and many of them are already approved and in clinical use in tumors like in melanoma, in lung cancer, and many others. So this is very important because we believe that none of these therapies alone is going to be enough. Cancer is smart. Cancer can change and overcome whatever you throw at them. But if we combine these things, then target a specific molecular abnormality and help the immune system and all of these things in conjunction, then you have a much better way to control the cancer. At the Georgia Cancer Center, we do have some very great research and including some therapies that have been developed in-house. There's a fantastic pediatric cancer protocol that's being developed by Dr. Mann, who's developed this great approach, including some of these immune therapies that wake up the immune system to try to help children with cancer. So we're using more and more these approaches, and we're integrating into other therapies for other cancers. And we think they're going to be very valuable in our fight for cancer. Again, it'll be a matter of integrating all of these approaches that we've discussed during this conversation and some others that are coming to try to more comprehensively be able to not only control the cancer, but eradicate the cancer.
It is so interesting, too, Dr. Cortez, that you mentioned earlier that the targeted approach, the targeted therapy, is what really, really works most beneficially because there's so much less collateral damage. Targeted therapy is something that you mentioned that is really, really big now because there's so little collateral damage. And I was just wondering, when you bring together these various modalities of dealing with cancer, is it still easy enough to target the therapy, or does it become a little more complicated?
It becomes complicated because many of these cells have what we call some redundant pathways of survival. What that means is that, if you think about, trying to get, from one point to another point, you can take one road, but if that road is blocked, you can take a lateral road. And it may not be as efficient, as fast, or whatever, but it still gets you there. And the cancer cells have those mechanisms of survival. They can develop lateral approaches to overcome what you throw at them and be able to survive. Or other times, the cancers are a mix of different types of cells. Some of them can be healed by a targeted therapy, but others are not. And then, so the ones that are not are selected and they develop. So that's where these combinations of one approach plus a different approach become very important, so that we can try to address all of these and be able to kill all the cells that we don't want there, and just let the normal cells have the normal function.
So that said, one of the things that amazes me is that, and you said this earlier, and you really caught my attention when you said it, you said that the cancer is smart. It is amazing to me, Dr. Cortez, that there seems to be true intelligence in these cells. It's not just a human being's entire brain that has intelligence. It seems like each cell has some level of intelligence, and we have almost a strategic battle going on inside of our bodies when that proliferation of cells starts to take place, and this what becomes foreign, cancer, for example, is trying to take over. It seems like the good cells in us are trying to outmaneuver the bad cells, and vice versa.
Exactly. You know, and the good thing is our body is smart as well. I think that what we're trying to do is to help our bodies to you know, give them a little bit of support so that they can outsmart the cancer. And we will, you know, we will outsmart the cancer. We are getting better at understanding the cancer, not only how it develops, very important, but also how it survives when we try to kill them in one way or another. And as we understand these mechanisms of developing resistance and surviving, the cancer surviving, we are better able to develop good strategies. And some of these strategies are not just combining a bunch of things at the same time, but allowing us to sequence therapies and to approach it at different times, etc. So, you know, fortunately nowadays we have better tools to study all of these, many more weapons that work in different ways. Again, early on, everything we had was chemotherapy, different types of chemotherapy, but they all essentially worked kind of the same way. Now we can address the cancer from the point of view of their molecular abnormalities, from helping the immune system, from addressing what we call the microenvironment, sometimes the soil where the cancer lives. It protects the cancer from the therapy, so we can also address these things. Many other aspects that we understand much better, and that we're able to develop therapies, so we can do a more comprehensive management rather than just throwing higher doses of chemotherapy that not only have limitations, but also can be very toxic to the patients.
Well, when we come back, could we take a look at some of the specific mainstays in leukemia treatment that you have had a part in?
Absolutely. We're happy to do that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Cortez has either authored or co-authored nearly 1,000 journal articles. He'll be speaking with us when we get back with you in just a few to discuss some of the leukemia treatment modalities that he has helped to come up with. Be back in just a few.